All right, so you move this wire over here, and then you connect it to this, right? And I
No, that's the red.
Oh, okay.
You need the red. Do you have them? Do you put the white tags on them? You need labels.
Oh, I should have done that. You know, I don't have color blindness, but I certainly do seem to be out of it. It's been so long since we like put one of these together.
Which is funny. I think the last time we did a news show, we said the same thing. Hey, welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why there are holiday instructions for things like this. Okay. All right. I think I got it. This should be the music now. Do you hear the music? Do you see the lights? Yeah. Oh, wait. Do you hear the music?
No,
I see the lights. There
no,
we go.
That's the holiday shopping casting again. No, we're done with that. That got killed last time. No. The regular theme. Ready?
This is what happens when I read the instructions from China by mistake. I'm telling you. All right.
Three and two and one.
Yay! All right, we have a show. Happy holidays, everyone. It is episode 203 of the Blind Markets Cast. I'm Joe Steinkamp, and that, my friends, is my good broadcasting partner with the Santa cap on. How are you doing?
If I keep eating more, I will look the part. Minus the beard.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not so sure about that.
It's easy to do.
No, I'm good. You know, hey, you know what though? Christmas spirit. We will do this once again. Last year, we started a new tradition. Well, I guess we make it a tradition if you do it the second year in a row, right? So we're going to call back Dial a Carol. What song should we ask them to sing this year? Last year, it was last Christmas.
Weird Al songs are out. If for those who are new to this,
yep, they tradition. Didn't know. Well, at least the person that was on the. I mean, you could try again, but that's a little more obscure song.
That's true. It's a whole new set of students.
Yeah, right.
That makes sense.
And whoever else is there. So who knows? It'd be funny if you got the same person we got last year.
Oh, that would be really funny. Depending how long this pile of news is to get through, we'll be talking about audio description. There was a bit of news in this particular area, and it didn't feel right to have it in the news lineup as it was. So we're going to talk about some of the advancements, changes, and things that are happening in that space in the discussion topic. And then we've got sound off and a tip that may or may not affect you if you're using Chrome.
Oh, I do use that sometimes, although I've been switching a little more to Firefox lately with all the accessibility improvements lately. So now, you know, it kind of goes back and forth, right? A year and a half ago, I was very anti-Firefox, and now with all this work that Jamie and Marco have been doing, kind of swinging that way. Well, that's a different topic for a different day. Both of them work really well with NVDA.
You're using NVDA with it, but are you using the new beta?
Yes.
Well, you're using Nightlies, but I know you. But are you out there, dear listener, using the new beta of NVDA? So this is our Python 3 candidate, right? Beta 1? How's it going so far?
And so this is the new beta. The beta cycle is going to be a little longer than normal. So if you're the type of person who likes to try new things, you know, you're not the type of person that wants to try out new features every day, but you want to at least kind of be on a little bit of the cutting edge and try the next version, NVDA 2019.3. What they call release candidates or betas are out now. At least the first one is out. There might be another one out by the time this podcast actually hits. We're recording on the 16th, and this will come out towards the end of this week of December. So what that means, if you have add-ons, is many of them will need to be updated. So many of the add-ons that exist right now have updates, including some of the paid ones, the Code Factory and Acapella voice add-ons have updates or available at the moment. Many, many of the free add-ons do as well. There's a list that Joseph Lee and others have been maintaining as far as that. There's a couple stragglers. NVDA Remote so far has not been updated, and we're kind of waiting to see what's going to happen there. But I think out of the 70 or so quote-unquote official add-ons, or at least the ones on the official add-on site, about 60-70% have been updated. So most of your main ones are there at the moment. So that's the one thing you're going to need to do right away if you have add-ons. I know many people don't even have add-ons, so that's not going to affect it. If you don't have add-ons, well, some other things are there. Screen curtain is built in now. So if you want to just hide your screen from suspecting eyes, that's new. Focus highlight, Joe. So a little bit of delving into some low vision type stuff. The thing
that's totally cool.
Yeah. NVDA never wasn't really doing things. There was an add-on for it before. And that kind of got merged in now. Of course, web improvements. It's always web improvements. Java Access Bridge for 64-bit just being built in now. That makes that a little bit simpler for Java apps.
That's a trip.
Yeah, so lots of other just random stuff. And lots this release, yeah, lots of rewriting the code. So that's pretty much future-proofing NVDA, getting it ready for the next generation of NVDA features.
Something that we will definitely have to catch up with at CSUN, which probably maybe the more stable release.
We might have to break our, yeah, you know what? We've had this like every other year trend with them. We might have to break that cycle and bring them back on next year because it's been a lot happening since the last time that we've had them on the show.
Has anything been said of the legacy for how long to expect support for the previous version? So the Python 2 version, and it's, you know, say if you were a dependent, like your business is dependent on NVDA.
And that's one of the things that, at least at the moment, the way NVDA runs versus, say, a Chrome or a Firefox, there's one release channel, right? There's no extended support release. You know, that's actually a good question to ask them because, you know, as you, more businesses, there might be a need at some point to have a more stable, less updated channel. That's what Firefox has done. That's what some other apps have done for things like that, for, you know, people that aren't ready to just move on to something new every corner. So right now, yes, if you need certain apps, what your answer is just to stay with 2019.2. There's no security risk in doing that. You just won't get new features.
Yeah, and that might be a problem with Firefox adopting the update every 4 weeks philosophy that they've talked about publicly. So you may find yourself in a situation where you're having to decide very quickly on what browser might be supportive of your screen reader and what you need to do moving forward. That is kind of the reason why you're in a position where you can't live on an older version of JAWS for a long period of time. I mean, you can install them, sure, and you can go backwards. It's not my favorite thing to do in the world. I'd rather have a clean version of JAWS on a clean system whenever possible. But hey, I'm that kind of guy who's used to hearing those progress bars go from one side of the screen to the other. But if you're not, then you might find yourself relying on legacy versions of JAWS or downgrading. The best way to do that, of course, is if you have a current version of JAWS. The current version of JAWS, Fusion or ZoomText, of course, gives you the latest, as mentioned in our last time that we were together on a news-related show, the December update for Fusion, JAWS, and NVDA. Oh, man. December update for Fusion, ZoomText, and JAWS is now out, and they talked a little bit about this on the latest FS cast. You know, Chrome is getting a lot of love from Freedom Scientific in this year's release. There's a lot of training videos about how to use JAWS with Sheets and Docs, and there's a lot of internal stuff that has been created for training. Their YouTube channel has a lot of information going up as well. So if you need to rely on this particular screen reader or screen reader screen magnifier combination for your job, you're getting a lot more support in these areas. But this kind of dovetails into what you were about to say. I think I cut you off about how it's going to be interesting which way you go in the combination in 2020.
Yeah, especially just looking at, like you said, you have different software on different release channels and such. You know, especially with NVDA 2019 too, I don't think your old Firefox is going to stop working tomorrow. If you continue to update Firefox, but you don't update NVDA, or, you know, even with JAWS, usually you have a bit of leeway. Yeah, you might miss a few new features. Say if you're still on JAWS 2019, you know, you're good for a bit. But the more and more you wait to update or pay for updates in the case of JAWS in some cases, and certainly the more you're going to fall behind, especially with Windows updates twice a year. And, you know,
Chrome, Chromium based Edge updating even more than that.
Yep. Yep.
And that's another thing we didn't even get into, is that, you know, some people are using Opera, some people are using Brave. So those are other web browsers that, you know, are going to see limited support by screen readers because they're going to go for the biggest bang for the buck. It's just like how some apps come to iOS first because that's where the audience is. Some of the support, you know, the screen reader can't support every browser that's out there. So you may find yourself doing a wide range of combinations and testing and experimenting depending on what you need done. Especially, you know, if you're going to do banking, though, you're probably relying on one of the majors because some bank sites won't recognize alternative browsers.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, screen reader, the term that we use now, is a generic, kind of like how Kleenex became a term for tissue. Screen reader is a generic term for, well, obviously what we know as a screen reader, for reading the screen. It actually wasn't always that way. It used to be a specific name of software from IBM. IBM Screen Reader. They were the ones that came up with the name. And the gentleman behind that, Jim Thatcher, passed away a week or two ago. There's lots of people talking about this on the internet. Not a name I was very well familiar with, and I wish I would have met him after reading everything about him. He was connected with a blonde guy when he was at the University of Michigan. So, hey, a Michigan connection there in the 60s, and got introduced to the need for accessibility, and ultimately created a program called SED, which was the very, very, very first screen reader. Eventually ended up, you know, being the IBM screen reader in the 80s, and then more recently was doing a lot of consulting, and still more recently, you know, helping people like Lanny Feingold and others in accessibility consulting and testing, and just providing so much insight. And leaves from the posts that people have been putting up, leaves a pretty huge legacy, and a name that I'm guessing many of our listeners, I was not familiar with that name until that came across a couple weeks ago. You know, might have seen it in passing once or twice, but it's we've come a long way since the early 80s, for sure.
I feel bad in that I've had opportunities to meet and listen, and I did not follow through on them, like CSUN or at a major convention, and something else pulled me away, or I didn't follow through on it. And now I'm starting to really regret some of these big people in our industry that are moving on or passing away from us. Both are happening. We're losing a lot of our talent that helped shape this industry. And some people I've been lucky enough to meet, and some people I've been honored to call friends. And then there are some people who I just met in passing. I think of Thurston as a perfect example, back in the days of mobile speak and stuff. So there are people who,
he was Talks, but yeah.
Was it? Okay. See, thank you. You correct me before the listeners do.
That one, and I remember, because that was fortunate we had him in an interview about 2 or 3 weeks before. So at least
he gave me like an hour of his time when I was at Texas State, and just fascinating, just absolutely fascinating. And, you know, that's one of those where I'm lucky in that, you know, where I worked, I had an opportunity to meet a lot of these individuals and learn about some of the history. I often tell JJ that one of my favorite interviews he did was at ATIA at the pool. You had Dean Blasey and all of that going on in the background. That's still one of my favorite interviews.
I'm scared to listen to that. My interviewing skills are like there like many, many years. Probably would cringe if I heard it now.
And it was funny because, you know, people tell stories about Eric Damery and Clarence Wiley smoking out on the deck. And I was lucky enough to witness this kind of thing and seeing the early days of assistive technology. And it's weird because there's good and bad about that, right? Because there's a little bit of used car salesman stuff that happened back in the day when it was so closed in by that. And we've talked about that a couple of times with James McCarthy, who's been on the show. And, but this is one that I can't believe. It's just like, oh, wow. You know, you think, oh, if I heard that name, I'd put it down. I bet you I'd run into him in Anaheim. Eek.
Yep.
But left a legacy, like you said. And I had an IBM Peanut PC in the 80s, and I wish I'd known about this and a couple others, because I moved more into Apple accessibility in my high school days and college. So that was kind of where I started cutting my teeth with synthesizers, although I did spend a little bit of time with it with Atari XE. But the IBM scene was huge, and it's weird to think about the IBM screen reader and what happened and how some of that was being used in embedded operating systems, even going into like OS2 work.
OS2, yes. So, I was going to say screen reader OS2. I mean, it came out a little bit later on, and a huge legacy. We'll put links up to Laney's post, among others, on our show notes at blindbargains.com.
Were you a Talks guy? I don't remember if you were Talks back then. What did you have on your N82?
I had mobile speak, and they were good. I think part of it was that was the first thing that AT guys ever sold. So mobile speak was the product we were able to get. So that was part of it. But, you know, a huge, huge legacy from all these people. And then we have another name here to
Unfortunately, we have another passing to talk about. Somebody else who brought us a screen reader-like situation to devices that we use that was also embedded in one that I use upstairs. We've had David Raystrick on the program a number of times. He's a good friend of the show, and he's been really cool with his time talking about things with IDmate. But this is not the person we're talking about today. Phil Raystrick, who is the founder of the company, unfortunately passed away since the last time we recorded.
Yep. So the IDmate, been around for over 20 years now, right? Remember those early iterations? You had the separate, you had the barcode scanner attached to some other...
On a long
cable.
This little right? white, yep.
And I was doing a little bit of research. The first one, I don't even think had a database of anything. You just could record. You could record stuff.
Yeah.
You can tag stuff, but I think it was the second one that actually started including a database of products that came a little later on. That all happened because Phil and his brothers were playing a lot of poker, and one didn't read Braille, so they wanted a way to make it accessible. So they had cards, playing cards with barcodes on them, and so that's how they started playing poker. And thus you have IDmate. So I love that story. They used to sell cards.
And I remember those days. Yeah. That was really funny. We had one of the original ID mates in the Assistive Technology Unit, and we used to play Scan Your Lunch. So everybody would bring their lunch and then scan it with a barcode scanner. And they get really depressed because the worse off it was for you, or possibly the cheaper it was, the more information it had about its health rating and what nitrates and calories were in it. And so the game was really fun, but also very depressing. And some people skipped lunch that day. I won't make any bones about that. So yeah, the early ID mates were a definite trip, and it has evolved so quickly over time. I remember David showing me one at NFB. I don't think it was the Omni, but it was one of the ones that you had a head strap so you could actually scan, you know, and have your hands free, and you would just look down, and it was almost like a miner's helmet. But you also wanted to do it where there was nobody sighted around, because, you know, that beam of light would come out of the unit scanning continuously.
Yeah.
It's great if you're doing inventory as like a Randolph Shepard owner or something, you know, but in a situation where you had other sighted people.
And that's where a lot of people bought the IDmate at first, was the vendors and the people in that field were a lot of the early people to get that. And then their big breakthrough came later with ScriptTalk and getting many, many, many pharmacies to offer that system. And that's been a huge product for them. And they kind of pioneered the whole labeling of prescriptions accessible. There's a couple of others out there now, but I'm pretty sure they were the first, or they were definitely the largest.
The iOS app that recently came out.
Now you have iOS and Android apps to do it. And you only started with the reader. So in many, many pharmacies. And that legacy, David and others will continue to honor that legacy and continue with Envision America. And Phil gave us many years in that company as well. So
there are a lot of legacies to look forward to moving forward, from CES to CSUN. Speaking of CES, Apple's going to be there for the first time in like 20 something years doing a talk on a panel. That came out while we were away. But I don't think they'll be talking about something Microsoft has had a hand in, the CodeJumper project. Recently won a prestigious CES award.
Very cool. And Access Innovation Awards, these get handed out, and we've seen various things win awards at CES in the past, and CodeJumper being the latest. That's cool. They have various accessibility categories, so there are spaces for people with accessibility to win awards at CES. So CodeJumper, congratulations to everyone involved with Microsoft, APH, HumanWare distributes that internationally. We did interviews with Dave Wilkinson in the past on CodeJumper. If you want to hear the demo of that, it's starting to filter out to some schools. I think we have people in Michigan that are going to be getting some soon, so I can try to play with it a little more as far as teaching coding to kids. So really, really cool stuff.
We had an interview with Joe Strecce, associate producer of C for Apple TV Plus, talking about that as well from the July convention coverage. You know, we decided to skip our regular joke about iOS 13.3 because, you know, it's getting to the point where it's not funny anymore about Apple having an update every time we go to record. And actually, this is the week after that came out. So it felt more apropos to bring up the idea that Apple Vis has given out its golden apples. I have some context here, but let me just say that the awards that are noted here go to Microsoft Seeing AI and Dice World.
And for goodness sakes, enough with the Dice World tweets. Merry Christmas.
Jay, I thought these are multiple winners. They've won before. I almost thought this was a headline from last year.
I was just going to say, wait a minute. So this is different from the Hall of Fame. So this is like App of the Year and things like that.
Correct. Voted on by the community.
Dice World. Oh, the community needs to get out. I mean, it's a fine app. There's nothing that, with all due respect, it is a fine and accessible app, and they've done many, many things on Apple and Android to, you know, they've taken about as much advantage of accessibility features as anyone. But wow, there are other things that have happened this year.
And we've even featured games on this show. We've talked about Fear. We've talked about Audio Wizards.
Well,
we talked about Circus Master's Revenge and other iOS games that are friendly that are coming up all the time.
They have a lot more to them. Crafting Kingdom had a lot more to it than you know, that's like Dice World and all the different story games that you've done over the year. You know, with all due respect to the voting, this is a big reason why we stopped doing Blind Bargains award voting.
Uh-huh.
Because you would just get we
stopped doing end of year countdowns.
Yeah, I mean, you would get the same, you know, if I look at the last year, I think there was like 9 out of the 12 categories were something either iPhone or Apple. And it was just like, you know, getting, you know, the same thing over and over and over. So focusing
more
on
innovation, not necessarily. Is it consciousness and people not exploring other apps? Possibly. There was a wonderful conversation in one of the threads at Apple Vis. This leads into this beautifully about KNFB Reader. And somebody noticing when the last update had come to KNFB Reader, and a wonderful conversation broke out about this very thing was, well, I have this app, I have that app, I have, you know, Envision AI, I have this other one. We had Voice Dream Scanner this year.
If you're picking app of the year, that's my pick right there, Voice Dream Scanner. It is by far now the best OCR thing that is out there. And there's no contest.
So is it stagnation in app development? I don't think so. Is it stagnation in mindshare in the community?
It's possible. What people are used to and what, I mean, you know, there are the people that are really, really in the know and pick up on the new stuff right away. And there's plenty of people, you know, we get phone calls on the AT Guys line or tweets or people who just found out about the podcast or just found out about AT Guys or just got their first iPhone or whatever, you know, so not everyone is up with things. Although Apple Viz is a website that seems to attract a lot of the higher end users. So I'm surprised. I mean, Seeing AI, I'll give you Seeing AI because there has been a lot of updates this year. You know, that I'll give, but there are other games out there.
So does it need a category of new and noteworthy?
Right. I guess, you know, if I go
first
back
timers club,
if I go back to the Blind Bargains thing where our category, you know, best new product of the year or whatever, right, and it had to have it either new or significant update. So Seeing AI would have qualified. Dice World, though.
They did do a significant update, and they did have some changes.
They had a new game.
So I don't want to negate that they're good company.
They're good people.
And they pulled in RS Games, and they're doing some stuff there. And so there were some changes there. But I don't know that it advances the conversation forward about what's happening. Because, you know, these are the same guys who are doing Apple Vis Unlimited, where they're talking about new and noteworthy apps.
Yep. Well, anyway, we've made the point. We don't need to belabor that. Yeah. But
anyway, send in your ideas, feedback at blindbargains.com. Tweet us. I'm sure our friends at Apple Vis now will, because
we'll see if they're listening. But we ran into that same pitfall. I mean, I don't know how you do it. Seeing AI, though, has gotten a lot of updates since the past time that we've recorded an episode. So you can recognize text in a whole bunch of new languages. That's cool. Japanese yen can be now recognized. Hey. of course,
this is true.
You can do shortcuts and Siri previously as well. The one that I kind of like is if you have a picture and you have two chairs in the picture, it'll now say chair one and chair two. So you can actually keep them separate. And if you're exploring,
I think people forget about the explore photo feature. Mm-hmm. Shelly demonstrated that back in April.
yeah.
on the show. And I use it occasionally, especially if I import a photo from Facebook or Twitter where somebody's not tagged it and it's a family member. And it's like, ugh, I just want to read what this is real quick. And I think it's underwhelming that some people will see seeing AI as an OCR only kind of thing and then forget about some of the advanced features like importing photos into it. Or my family might scan a picture of a letter that's come in the mail for me back in Texas, and I'll just import that in and start reading it with seeing AI. And it's really crazy to be able to do that. That is wild.
Got one more quick before we do a couple of this. We have a bunch of quick fire things we have in the show notes. This is the recent things that we've put up on Blind Bargains, as far as you can keep up on stuff. Registration for the AFB Leadership Conference back in the D.C. area, and not the same week as CSUN. So
hooray!
That's good.
No divided loyalties.
That's towards the end of March, so that's available now. And then Tangelo has put up a couple new reviews and articles, and a pretty intense one on all the things that she would like to see added to screen time. So definitely check out those articles on Blind Bargains.
Making me feel that I am wasting my time as well as not organized. Tangelo, you did an amazing job there. I'm very proud of I'm proud of you and mad at myself. No worries. It's all good.
So, yeah, we're publishing a lot of stuff on Blind Bargains. Also, new stuff in Access World in the December issue, the last one of 2019. Hey, international travel. And that's the Amazon Alexa microwave is reviewed in here.
Oh, ooh. The easy bake microwave oven.
And Zoom. Oh, I wrote that. A thing on Zoom.
Oh, yeah. And its many new plans and features.
Oh my gosh, yeah. macOS Catalina. And I think we'll talk about it in a minute. Amazon Prime providing more audio described content. So lots of things in the December 2019 Access World. That's afb.org/AW.
Definitely read the editor's column. It's been talking a lot about employment and letters too. So there's some good stuff there.
Absolutely.
We don't mention that every time we talk about an Access World update. So there's a lot of content there. Definitely go through the back issues.
Well done. There you go. You know, hey, shopping. Yeah. Shopping for the holidays. You might have heard Ira is doing free calls for shopping, which is really cool. So if you have Ira, or you can download Ira for free, they're doing free calls for shopping tasks, both offline and online, through January 10th of next year. So that's cool for Ira. You can also...
January 10th, you can actually do all your returns. So if you got some Amazon stuff, need to take it back to Kohl's.
You know,
if you need to return stuff to Target, that's a good thing because they're adding a whole bunch of Target stores.
Oh, gosh. That's absolutely. Yes. Lots and lots of Targets, which is really cool as well. So definitely check with Ira on some latest stuff there.
So if you're going to bring back your Braille Uno cards.
No.
Jay isn't.
No, I'm not. I'm keeping mine. I have.
But if you want to go looking for your Braille Uno cards, you can actually use the Target website to see if they're there. Go and pick them up. In fact, you can actually use the Target website, purchase them, then use Ira to go find where the ability is to go pick up stuff
at
and never
Target.
Really have to go into the store at all.
Ah, yes. Oh,
so much easier.
Or you can just be like me and use Shipt. Just sit at home and do it. But it works really well. So
yeah, you'll get an ad for that if it's available in your area if you go to Target.com. Just saying. I know from experience. Also, another tip real quick, and it's not the tip section.
Yeah.
But you may want to put your notifications for certain things like email or certain apps for shopping in silent mode until at least December 31st. If you're buying a gift for somebody and you're in a household where speech might be heard by other people who use speech.
Did this happen to you?
And you don't want that other person to know what you may have bought her for Christmas?
Did this happen to you?
No, it's come close. It's been very... No, my favorite story about this is Ricky actually using Seeing AI to read gifts for Kyle, but actually it blurting out something that she had gotten for me and read it, and she thought too loud, but I was oblivious. I was upstairs and I didn't hear it, but that's one of my favorites, is that you had to be careful. She was like, I should have put in earbuds.
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
So just a couple of little gifty tips for those of you who are checking their email for shipping or the like. Also, really good for scanning that box to make sure it's a box for you, not somebody else.
You're
it's
way
very
ahead
depressing,
of me.
Though, if it does actually have the gift of what's inside written on
you're
the label.
I need to do my Christmas shopping. I haven't even got there. So you're ahead of me on that one entirely.
And you can go into the Alexa app to make sure that gifts are not spoken. So if you check your Amazon Echo to see if your gift has arrived,
all these things,
it doesn't yell everybody out what the gift actually is that arrived on your doorstep.
See, you're way ahead of me. All of this.
You mentioned shopping. I had a bunch.
Yeah, wait a minute. Yeah, you know. Could have strewn them over like five different episodes, but that'd be next Christmas.
You should have. I should have planned better. Hey, just like your Christmas shopping.
Well, you know, hey,
I should have planned better.
Well, here's the thing. You always buy a gift card, right? You can get a gift certificate. So if you don't know what to get someone and they happen to like the wonderful products over at AT Guys, get them an AT Guys gift certificate, which they won't have to return because they can just spend it on whatever they want. So they come in any amount.
Like Shelley's book.
You could do that. That's you could get some Waytags. You could get some Aftershocks. You could get a battery. You could get a Knut if they bought you a really, really big gift card.
I
don't know, or put it towards the purchase of a larger item as well. So go to atguys.com. Just click on gift certificates, and then you can get them and have them sent to you or anyone else that you would like for the holidays in 2019. So there you go.
We also appreciate those who then buy blind bargains classified for all the garbage that you get.
We'll see you after Christmas.
Or went to re-gift to others.
Yeah, we'll see after Christmas what gets posted as people doing their classifieds.
We do actually find that very funny that we actually do have a window between October and say middle of January where we watch that very carefully and make jokes about, hey, is that someone trying to sell something to raise Christmas cash, or is that someone trying to sell something they got as a gift? Yeah, it does happen.
You know, the other thing you might do over the holidays, we have a few minutes to talk about this, is listen to something on TV that's audio described. Your choices. Ever. It's not just Netflix anymore, folks. The choices are tons. I'm going to defer a little bit to you because you watch a lot of TV. I've watched some. But there's so much going on now.
Mentioned this on Twitter that a recent place where you could gain content of a nefarious nature in relation to audio described MP3s of very famous television shows had gone away, and they were like, do you know where I can get, this show or that show or some of that show? And the irony of this was most of the shows that people were DMing me or asking me about on Twitter were available through various streaming services already, or were coming online. Now, some of it, of course, was just recent. Timothy Wynn actually wrote us and told us that CBS All Access has now made it a lot easier to find the audio described tracks in, say, Star Trek Discovery. A lot of this stuff had come to like Apple TV, but if you weren't using an Apple TV, that was in your primary form. Android and iOS users had to wait in some cases for some of that to come about. But that's good because that's why I canceled my Star Trek to CBS All Access was Discovery wasn't there in audio description, but was outside the United States. So that was the worst part about it, right? It was there when it went to Netflix. Netflix is the worldwide distributor for Star Trek Discovery. And lo and behold, it had audio description because Netflix helped produce Star Trek Discovery. Ah. So in America, where we made it, couldn't get it, but everybody else could. Titans from DC Universe, same way. It's available on Netflix, but not available through the DC Universe app itself for audio description. Now, Netflix, as we know, does a lot of this.
Tons
but
and tons.
With Disney Plus, right? A lot of that content that was audio described went away because it was really Disney content. So things like Thor Ragnarok or Star Wars Clone Wars, those disappeared from Netflix, went over to Disney Plus, and in some cases, their audio content for description didn't go with them. So Star Wars Clone Wars, which was described on Netflix, showed up on Disney Plus without its audio description. But no worries, because a lot more is available on Disney Plus with audio description. You just have to get used to Disney Plus's controls. One of the things that Disney Plus does is it hides its controls really quickly. If you tap on the player, you'll get the content up for like fast forward play, and it disappears in like 2 seconds, and there's no way to stop this. So one of the things you can do is tap on it once and learn how many times you need to flick, or tap on it and put your finger closer to the top right of the screen, because this is a little bit more explore by touch, to be able to get to that. It acts the same way on the Microsoft Xbox, by the way. So the Disney Plus content, you have to constantly be moving on the screen for it to keep its player controls up there. But when you do, you'll hear one for audio settings, and you can turn on captions and audio description. And once when you do it, it'll go across devices. So if you do it on Apple TV Plus and it's hooked into your account, it actually will migrate over to when you go to use it on iOS. The reason why I bring this up, Jay, is that Disney Plus, like Netflix, you can background audio on iOS. So you can start something with audio description, right? Lock your screen or hit your home button or go back to the home screen, however you do it, and then lock your screen or magic tap to bring audio back. And it's just audio, and you can lock your screen. You can walk around the house with audio description. Really cool.
That's very cool.
Love it, love it, love it.
So I have I have a Amazon the Fire Stick. I've talked about here a little bit here and there. And a fair amount of these apps are on there now. Of course, Netflix and their audio description. I need to try Disney Plus and see how that works on there. But having a separate device from my phone is another way for me to kind of separate things out, since that's a dedicated media streaming thing. You know,
yeah, kind of, and you could run it through your home theater, really blast.
Absolutely, like I'm running. Like I just got a new Sonos speaker. I'm going to pipe everything through there. But more and more options. So you mentioned Disney Plus, and I know some people might be saying, "Well, I don't want to pay for all this stuff." Well, there are some things. Lots of free trials for one. Almost everything has a 1 month free trial, and then there's some ways. So if you have Verizon, for instance, you on many plans can get a free year of Disney Plus. Or at least from now through the beginning of November of next year. So you have to go into the My Verizon app and you can get a code for that. You can get that. Same thing with Apple TV Plus. There's lots of different ways through buying new iPhones.
Buy a new Apple device. Mm-hmm. You get a free year of Apple TV Plus. Yep.
So that's a year. Hulu just had a deal for $2. I should have got it for $2 a month. It was the ad plan for a year. So lots of these are kind of, they're really throwing out deals to try to get you to try it. All access is the 1 month trial.
You mentioned that, but if you have Disney Plus and you have Hulu Plus, you can actually merge the accounts. They'll still bill you separately, but they knock off half of Hulu Plus for Disney Plus.
And you get ESPN Plus too, right?
Negate part of it. Correct.
Yeah, which doesn't have any audio description, of course, it's live, but it is useful if you're a sports fan and nice to have some things you can watch NFL prime time.
You still use all the apps separately, though, so you're not going to see Disney Plus content in your Hulu Plus app.
Nope.
They're still two separate services.
One of the things I do like about, like the Fire Stick or, some of these other devices do this as well, is if you just forget what show you want, I can just do the voice remote and say a name of a show. And then it will say, oh, yeah, this is on Prime Video. This is on Hulu. And then you can figure out ways to either watch it for free or to buy it. You do the same thing on a Google search. If you type in the name of a show, it'll generally tell you who has it. So that kind of could get you a step closer to figuring out where you might be able to watch something. And then, of course, you can go to the Audio Description Project and their lists of, growing lists of shows. You can browse that way as well. To see what's available.
Yeah. And Shelly mentioned this before. She uses the TV app and Apple TV because she doesn't want to track down what service, a particular program is on. And that can be kind of a pain in the fanny.
It's nice to have, it's nice to have ways to do that.
Yeah. Because there's so many different options out there and so many
choices. Sometimes more than one.
That are now available.
Sometimes more than one. So say if you're renting a movie on Prime Video or you're buying one, and if you're only blind people and you don't really care about the fidelity, it might be HD version for $10. Click on more options or more ways to watch. Sometimes there's an SD version, a little lower picture quality.
Yep.
For a couple bucks cheaper. So, if you're not looking.
But if you just want to own the audio description.
Right, exactly. Then you get the cheapest, the possible. It's not going to ruin your audio description and it'll still sound just fine. So that's another thing that you can do.
And if you're an Android fan, Vudu is still supporting the thing I've talked about before, where you can actually scan the barcodes of DVDs and Blu-rays and buy a cheaper version of that. Usually it's like $5 or something like that of the disc converted over to digital. And then you can actually tie that into movies anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then propagate that across everything and then watch it on various services. It's actually one of our previous tips is about how you might see a movie cheaper on, say, Microsoft Movies and TV on your computer, connect up to Movies Anywhere. And if you buy it on Microsoft or you buy it on Amazon or you buy it on Google, chances are it's available on iTunes with audio description. You just hook all that information so it talks back and forth to each other. And now you've not only got a movie that you can watch on any of these platforms, but it's also giving you the audio description iTunes. I know a family where one of the viewers in the house is blind, but the families kind of, they find audio description distracting. So what they'll do is they'll go back and watch the movie later, or they'll watch it separately with audio description, so it doesn't bother other people if they bring people over who aren't used to audio description. And so that's an opportunity there too. And if you get a DVD for Christmas or a Blu-ray, a lot of them have digital codes inside, and you can use a scanning app to grab the code, then put it in Movies Anywhere, and then put that into your iTunes library. And I just did that recently with the Matrix trilogy, where it was on sale for ridiculously cheap on Blu-ray. And so I grabbed it and then put it in and got audio described Matrix in iTunes.
So perhaps poor example, because it's not actually an audio described title, but of course I jumped to Spaceballs because that's what I do here. And that's
of course, right. That's our default.
So I put it into Google. So check this out. Amazon Prime Video, available if you're a Prime member. YouTube from 99 cents. Google Play Movies from $2.99. iTunes from $3.99. Vudu from $3.99. Hulu. So I mean, all over the place on prices. It's not necessarily always consistent from service to service, renting or buying or whatever. So yeah, definitely check those out.
And it
out.
Could be on Crackle or something.
Yes.
One of the things about Apple TV is that you'll see buy, or you'll see buying options, and it'll say
yep.
available on Hulu to rent, or available on Hulu to stream.
Exactly.
And Hulu has been adding a bunch of audio described content, as well as seen in the show notes over at blindbargains.com. I am just freaked out because the other day I was in YouTube TV and I had something playing in full screen on my tablet, and I just inadvertently flicked up and got a custom action for secondary audio.
Huh.
And I was sure. So you know,
you got Spanish.
I was in full screen mode, the controls were away, but there was a custom action added to iOS YouTube TV to switch from primary to secondary video.
That's
that I
great.
Didn't even know anything about. It's not documented, it just recently happened. This stuff is happening so quick and so fast. Remember that Netflix has a dedicated section in the mobile app. I was telling Mika White about this not too long ago. You go to your menu button in Netflix, go all the way down through the list, past science fiction, past romantic films, past all that, at the bottom, audio description. It'll show you all the titles that are available in audio description and then link you right to them. iTunes, of course, has its own section. It's if you go to movies within that. TV, not so much, right? TV, you're relying more on the streaming aspects
yeah.
of the service. To be able to get audio description.
The ADP has some of that information, but even they say it's sometimes hard to get information for all TV shows or what's currently being described for that. You mentioned Hulu. So the Android app on Hulu now has its audio description options. The web interface is now accessible. Before it was not, as far as enabling those tracks or moving around videos. Didn't see it yet on the Fire TV, but they say by the end of the year, they're trying to get this all working. So Hulu is pretty much getting there as far as accessibility, and so many more options. Now, you mentioned movies too, also with audio description. Just because it's audio described on one platform might not mean it is on the other. So that, you know, definitely kind of, you know, you can't always assume, you know, like movies on Crackle, for instance, are not described, or on IMDb, which is another app right. that you can get, are not described, or Pluto.
Right.
So, you know, it's still, we've made a right. lot of progress.
But
though.
Something on TBS or TNT might be described.
Yep. USA Network Christmas Story
might be described.
Will so be described.
Right.
Yes.
But FX is still doing Spanish on its second audio channel. So there are some stations that are utilizing their secondary audio channel for Spanish, depending on what, you know, they are. Like HBO used to do that before they dedicated second audio to Spanish. They used to do that until they actually did HBO Spanish channels. So that's something that you should be aware of. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see it more on demand programming. Like if
yes,
I purchase a title,
absolutely.
That would
yeah,
be,
it's,
that would be,
or really even good. The various apps.
I can
apps.
Support the product as
the
well.
The various apps, ABC.
And that's another reason why we're telling you guys about that is while it was nice to have the Wild West where people were using SendSpace and the like to get these audio titles from various places, it really, really, really matters that we use the official sites, players, streams, and pay for this content for it to stick around. It is very, very important. These companies rely on numbers. They rely on demographics. They rely on marketing. And we have to show them that we will respond, that we'll utilize this technology. If they build it, we will come over and listen to it. And so while it was nice that that stuff existed for a while, and while I recognize as a Doctor Who fan that audio description exists everywhere but the United States for Doctor Who, BBC America, hashtag describe the doctor, by the way, I started that last week. there is a recognition that in some cases that might be the only place that we can get audio description. I hate that. I really, really hate that. You should get constructively, politely in front of the company, either in social media, lots of times I will use that feedback button in customer service and tell us this, you know, I've been a subscriber for X and I'd really like to see this because it really keeps me paying for your service. And that those kinds of things get, you know, up the chain, up the ladder. And you'd be surprised how well some of that stuff is accepted or even moved into accessibility at some of these companies when you put it to them in a very polite way and remind them that you're spending money on their product. Because that's what talks the most. Not illegal downloads, not file sharing. It's spending money on a product that shows who we are and what we're doing rather than us, you know, go banging our, you know, canes on the fence. That doesn't work. That's a thing where it used to, but some companies have become very hardened to that approach because it's being used by so many other people for so many other reasons. Before we walk away from the subject, Ricky and I talked about C on Apple TV Plus. And, as soon as we finished the first season of C, I stopped my Apple Plus TV subscription because that's all I really wanted from that was that program. And now that it's all out, if you just want to spend $5, if you're not going to buy a new Apple product this year, it's really easy to subscribe and unsubscribe from Apple TV Plus on your iOS device and other services to go ahead and binge watch all 8 episodes of C if that's all you want out of that and that's all you're looking for in that service. And it was a good, I'm happy with where it ended for season 1. Ricky and I probably circle back and talk about the other 4 episodes and spoiler territory at some point, but, totally worth it. And they're going to actually start casting for the second season. I've seen this through a couple places, NFB Performing Arts and ACB and others. AFB also put out the official, line from the company that was looking for blind and visually impaired actors to join. You know, now that I've been a parent for a couple of years, I kind of like this series in a way that I didn't think I was going to like it before, because there is a lot about child rearing and blindness in this particular series that I think is really interesting. And what you would say to a sighted child, and found myself identifying with this content more than I have before, Jay. Yeah. I'm getting older, dude. It's kind of weird.
By the way, you do get a 7-day trial for Apple TV. So if you just want to binge watch quickly, you can do that.
Yeah. If you could get through all 8 hours pretty quick, I mean, you know, watch the first night and get through the rest.
There you go.
Just cancel your subscription ahead of time so that way you plan accordingly. Yes. And like you said, a lot of these series, if you want to learn the interface and you just want to watch a show and you think you're going to binge watch it, you know, through pretty quick, you can go ahead and get yourself a trial. The Disney Plus one is interesting because you have to go back to DisneyPlus.com and go in and do it that way. You can't do it from the app. You'll get redirected and told that you need to go back to the Disney Plus site. You know, circling back to what we said a second ago, all right, more like minutes ago, you signed up for the program. So I'd run into this too, because I'd seen a couple of people talk about Disney Plus at launch. Using it on Chrome wasn't as easy as using it on Firefox to sign up and subscribe. And I ran into some of this because NVDA wasn't reading the drop-down menus. Not only on that, but on several banking sites this year with NVDA, which I thought was really strange. So I know this concept of you cannot have one ring to rule them all. Nope. You have to use multiple screen readers and multiple browsers.
That brings us to a browser tip, eh?
Yeah. We talked about before on this show about Chrome and some of the neat things you can do with Chrome. Image description. That's certainly a neat new feature where you could actually have the pictures automatically described for you. It might take a second for your page to load. It's taking several seconds for your page to load to be able to do that. It might be because you have describe every image. So it's actually doing that in the background and it's slowing things down until it has all the descriptions labeled. Jay's not a big fan of this. Neither is Patrick. I've done it for a little bit and I do it on some websites, like entertainment websites, because it's nice to know that there's a picture of, say, Ryan Reynolds or something up at the top of the screen. But the problem is that all that stays around, especially in cache, and it can build up over time, especially over long surfing sessions. So you want to go in there and delete things. Jay, are you familiar with going to the Chrome button, going down to more options and tools, and finding one about deleting content in history? Because I do this a lot.
See, yeah, you're doing it the smarter way, because I'm the type of person that's going to go into Windows Explorer and dig around directories. So yeah, do what Joe says, not me. Not this one.
Yeah, so hit your Chrome button. In a lot of cases, you can actually use Alt-F and then go down, down, down. You'll go past Cast and Find. Okay. More Tools Submit. Uh-huh. Right arrow, clear browsing data. And then once when you've done that, you'll get a box that's kind of like Firefox, but it's a separate web page that pops up.
Oh, gosh, it's so much easier. Why don't I do this?
It'll talk about, you can go in, change your time range. You can get rid of your browsing history, cookies, cached images. That's the one you want, because in my case right now, it's like 305 megabytes. All that stays in Chrome. Chrome is like an operating system itself if you're using it within Windows. So multiple tabs, browsing history, add-ons, all of that can eat up CPU cycles and memory on your own computer, but also it's just memory because Chrome is just eating resources. And then you can choose whether you want to clear data for the day or the month, the hour, or the history, and hit clear data. And that'll get rid of that. Then you control W to get rid of that window and off you go.
There's actually a keyboard shortcut to skip over the first few of those steps. You can hit control shift delete and that will pop you up right up in that settings screen. You do that from Chrome and that'll bring up that dialogue that you were just talking about. And
it's a good way to do it with Firefox as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely keeping these caches clear after a while, especially they can build up if you're doing hundreds of web pages a day. Like for me, mostly Amazon links, but there you go. Yeah. Send your tips to feedback@blind.
Images is your worst. Yeah, you're right. But you're right. Go ahead and send in your tips. Mm-hmm. Like Jay was
bargains.com.
And feedback@blindbargains.com. Hey, that might be the same website mentioned by this lady right here.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback@blindbargains.com or tweet us @blindbargains.
Delicious, wonderful, crispy letters, freshly emailed into the inbox.
That's going way back.
Like baking cookies. I'm mixing metaphors. They do not work. Got a couple of longtime listeners here. Rebecca Skipper writes in and talks about accessible versions of a particular comic. So there is a Jay's going to tune out here for a second.
I saw the question. This
comics. Coming for Star Trek Picard. Star Trek Picard is a sequel series to Star Trek: The Next Generation. And they've done a story before that thing airs on CBS All Access in the comics. And she's purchased the comics and wants to know if there's a way of being able to do them described because she's tried OCR and it's with limited things. The way that I do this is that there are just about anything you want on the internet, especially YouTube, where people will break down comics panel by panel and will actually read the text in each balloon, will actually describe them. And because sometimes they know that people are watching on a mobile device and can't see it as well and can't, they might not know how to use magnifier and zoom in on something, they'll actually read it. Or for people who have language situations, like maybe the comic was not translated into their language, but they know English as a speaking language, they'll actually break down everything. Or even worse, they're incredibly geeky and nerdy like yours truly, and they'll actually tell you all the Easter eggs are in the background, what's here and what there's a callback to, or if there's something on the screen and you don't know the episodes well enough, they'll break it down for you. I'll put a link, maybe two links in the show notes for some of these places that are doing that for this particular line of comics. But yeah, there are people who will actually break down like Comics Explained, who will break down like Crisis on Infinite Earths, which is going on DC television. There are people who will actually give you the entire summary of DC Comics Crisis from the 80s and break it all down for you and tell you what happened or read key scenes or describe the art for you. So you can take part in this and kind of get an idea of the backstory. Unfortunately, one of the best ways to do DC Crisis titles is graphic audio, but those are out of print. They lost the rights to some of those DC comics. So if you know somebody who has those titles, ask to kindly borrow them, not illegally copy them, but kindly borrow them to be able to listen, because that's what I did. I actually went back and re-listened to my Crisis on Infinite Earths audios before DC started launching those comics. There's a lot of comic tie-ins, and it's not always about science fiction or superheroes. There's actually things for Archie comics, because some of their stories are weird takes on Riverdale, the television show, and so you can actually get that the same way. I do the same thing for television that uses a lot of montages. So I'll go back and read a review of a review on the web of a television show, and they'll explain some of the montages, or like if somebody was in a cameo and this licensed track, say the Chainsmokers, was playing really loud and there's no dialogue. I want to know what happened. And if I don't have my teenager around, or I don't want to bring out my phone and have Ira describe it, I'll sometimes go back and read synopsis breakdowns and plot breakdowns of old television shows or new television shows, just to find out what was in that key scene. Not everybody will do that, but it's one of the things I will do at times, to be able to do that. I used to do that on forums, actually, on my Babylon 5 forum years ago, because I used to run a Babylon 5 forum for Crusade. Would actually ask that occasionally. It was like, okay, what visually happened on screen would be the name of the topic for episode blank. And people would actually go on and tell me on Reddit or something like that. Now would be a modern equivalent where you would ask that and other people would describe it for you. So fandom's usually kind, is my experience. Yeah, it can be toxic. But if you're really into a show and you want to know, there are other people who are happy to have you along because they're happy that you're there and you like the same thing that they like. So that's another alternative.
So now I'm going to make you zone out. Talk about math.
Okay, so Joe's going to tune out for a little bit, even though this was actually written for and you. Sent for me.
You. Yes. So Lydia writes in. Yes.
Well, I think we've just demonstrated over the last 5 minutes why I'm not good at math.
Lydia writes in episode 200. We had some math discussion. I don't remember the exact. Hey, there comes train. That's a late train. We were talking about episode 200. I didn't have to listen to this in high school. A song?
You knew what it was before you...
Yeah. A song about the quadratic formula? Let me roll a few seconds of this.
Hi, boys and girls. Are you ready to learn the quadratic formula song? Cool! X equals negative B plus or minus square root. B squared minus 4ac divided by 2a.
It's a catchy tune, I'll give it that.
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, there are lots of obnoxious school songs. I'm glad my math teachers were just boring and did
I haven't heard math. This particular thing, but I certainly remember a song about the quadratic formula, and it was very annoying. Is it the same one? Let's find out.
Do you remember how it went?
It went to the opposite of B, plus or minus, yeah, that.
Yeah. It's kind of, yeah.
Plus or minus square root.
Yeah, right? It's about x.
Minus 2, it's like
there was an x in there. I heard that.
Something like
that.
It's been like 20 years. I don't know.
At least you know.
I know about 80% of the quadratic formula. That's something, I guess.
Well, here, X is for X. Well,
I'm glad you came back.
That's how it works out in my world.
I'm glad you're here, though, because we need to do continue a tradition that we started last year. And people that can actually, well, kind of sing. Well, it depends who we get.
Maybe they can sing about the quadratic formula.
Is that a Christmas song?
Okay. There's only one rule here. For people who are taking part in Whamageddon, we can't use a particular song because this will put them in Valhalla and they can't go there. That's wrong.
Uh-oh. I'm going to pretend I have no idea what that means.
Okay, so no idea. Here we go. Whamageddon is the idea that you can't hear Last Christmas.
Well, we wouldn't ask for the same song 2 years in a row anyway.
So Thanksgiving to Christmas. Well, I had to look this up. Thanksgiving to Christmas is the window. So starting on Black Friday, you try to make it through the holiday season without hearing Wham's last Christmas.
That the first day?
Correct. Yeah, pretty much. And some people did because there was actually a movie with that in it, like it was licensed. And so people like got nailed on the first day during holidays because their family had turned on the Hallmark Channel and this thing had spread across. But yes, yeah, so that's a game that the internet plays is called Whamageddon.
I'm still good this year.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. No, me too. I've actually gone much further this year than I expected.
So let's throw out some options before we call them. Unfortunately, the way the timing is, they're going to be done by the time you hear this. So you have to get at them a little earlier. Over at the University of Illinois. And they've been doing this for almost 60 years.
Should we get out all the culturally inappropriate songs? So maybe it's called Outside Can't Be There. I Saw Mama Kissing Santa Claus.
Maybe it's called Outside.
Can't do that one anymore. No,
that's okay. Something simple, maybe like a Winter Wonderland.
Up on the Rooftop.
Oh, gosh. I was thinking like Let It Snow, Winter Wonderland. We could always do like
that would
Little
work.
Little St. Nick.
Any of the Johnny Mathis classics.
Andy Williams. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
All right, let's do it.
Wait, I'll let them do that.
Okay, yeah, you're not working there. All right.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Patrick's right. Version.
Okay, let's do that one then. I'm sure they know that.
All right.
I'm gonna get them on the...
Before we started recording, we actually had a couple of songs where we were like, wait a minute, how is that a Christmas song? Like, these are a few of my favorite things.
Right, Hallelujah is not a Christmas song. It's a beautiful song, not a Christmas song. Christmas song. It's a great song.
It also doesn't have a lot of words that are like different than the other words.
The original Hallelujah is a pretty dark. It's a dark song.
It actually is. That's the funny thing about
Leonard Cohen. You hear the original Leonard Cohen version. It's pretty dark. So all right, just got to press a couple buttons and get them on here.
Got run over by a reindeer. I mean, that's horrific. Some people have PTSD over this.
That's a problem. Okay, so should I call these people or what?
Yeah. All right, we're going for Andy Williams, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
Unless you want to try it for Weird Al.
Happy holidays from Dial a Carol. We are very excited to answer your call. Please note that depending on call volume, it may take up to 15 minutes to answer your call. Please have your name, location, and the carol you would like to hear ready for when we answer. If you get disconnected, please try calling us back later. We thank you for your patience as we are busy caroling.
Oh, I remember this. So we had this whole music.
Hello, and thanks for calling Dial a Carol. My name is Joseph. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Joseph. This is JJ and Joe and Patrick. We're calling you from a podcast that we're recording right now all over the from Michigan and North Carolina and New York.
All right, and what podcast is this?
It's called the Blind Bargains Cast.
The Blind Bargains. I'll have to remember.
Yeah, so last year we called in and had you guys do Last Christmas. We're not going to do that again.
All right. Well, what song would you like to hear this time?
What are we thinking? We're going to do Andy Williams? It's the most wonderful time of the year?
Yep, sure.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, there we go.
And here it goes. It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle-belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing and loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing and loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Wow.
Awesome, wow. Man.
Oh,
that's
got
great.
The whole song. He's a good singer. Some background singers.
This isn't your graduating year, right, man? You're not graduating because we'll want to hear you again next year. You're our fave.
That's great, man.
Thanks for the compliments.
Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Nope.
You too. Bye-bye.
Blind Bargains Podcast.
Blind Bargains. All right. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Happy holidays, man.
Merry Christmas. All right. The whole song, the entire
permission to run through auto-tune.
Yeah. Maybe
after the credits, go for it.
Yeah, put some after the credit. Yeah, do it after the credits and see what happens. Well,
that is, by the way, we actually tweet at them and they actually tweet back at us. It's pretty cool. This has turned into a regular
thanks
thing for
to
us.
A Thier who told us about this amazing. Originally. And
that's cool.
Very, very cool.
And so this is what we do for the holidays. That's
how we end the year now.
Last regular formatted show for the year, because we still have the end of year look back kind of thingy, and then Patrick does his worst to us with the annual Patrick cast. That had a couple of things that I know he's probably got in his Santa sack to drop down the audio chimney upon our heads. So this is the time for to shine.
A little scared. Yep, definitely.
Mm-hmm. I always am every year when I have to review that.
End of year should be interesting, though. So I mean, lots of things, some of that audio description stuff that we just talked about, I think that might be part of it. But, lots of things happened in 2019. Agree. Big stories, small stories. We will find out soon.
And it won't be just us talking, which is great.
Nope, we got a whole bunch of people coming on.
Yeah, and a bunch.
That'll drop sometime between Christmas and New Year's. And, we kind of stretch things out a little bit. And then the Outtakes show will come out after that. And then we'll be back for some more. Already talking to at least one
possibly
person.
With stuff that we've gotten for Christmas to talk about.
Yep.
Review.
I already have one interview guy coming on, playing
I need to get, there were a couple of traditions we broke this year. We didn't have Brian Hartgen on, and I should, but David Bradburn, I actually interviewed him and the recording didn't come out at CSUN. So I broke the
tradition.
Yeah, you
got to get him,
David, but
get him back on.
I need to get him back on because he just has posted a bunch of stuff about eating in China because he was back there at the company's headquarters and he was posting various places that he had eaten. And there were things there that I'm glad that he's experienced so I don't have to because, wow, there's some crazy stuff they eat over there. I am absolutely stunned and fascinated, but he's a good person. 14-hour flight. From Boston to China, by the way.
That's a bit.
Yeah, I'm glad some people that we know are jet setters. I will live vicariously through them.
Yeah. Well, as you're traveling for the holidays and for Christmas, hope you have a great time with friends and family and whoever you celebrate with. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. He won't say it. I'm saying Merry Christmas. He can't stop me from doing that. And thank you so much for listening
I work for the government. It was bred out of us.
Great rest of 20.
I said it a couple of times on the podcast specifically for you. So you didn't.
I appreciate it.
Feel like you had to. Good.
But yeah. Whatever you celebrate, we definitely hope you celebrate it well. And thank you so much for everything in 2019. End of year is next. Thanks, Patrick, for putting this together as well. So we do appreciate you all listening. And get ready for the end of the year show sometime after Christmas. So I guess now we're going to auto tune our Dial-A-Carol guy. Let's see what comes up.
And it's one of the few times of the year where I won't get chided for talking about what's coming up next year. See?
Well,
already planning.
See, that's when you're supposed to do it. That's the time.
That's when I'm supposed to.
It might even be a little bit of I have to plan this without him and it's dropping this on Joe right now. It might have to have a tiny bit of a end of the decade. As well, it's so
what's sad is we have enough content on that website that we could do that.
Well, here's
we
the
could
thing.
Actually pull our previous end of years.
The iPhone is not the iPhone was the story I think of the last decade, even though it was near the end of the decade. So yeah. I don't think you can use that this second. I think it's got to be something else.
No, and I've seen a couple of people already do that. I think it was Mashable and somebody else kind of sort of said that. But I mean, certainly there's an impact there. Don't get
sure,
me wrong.
It got a lot bigger, but it took hold in the last decade. And no, it's been that long. It has been that long. So best of the year.
Well, remember, we'll visit that post that I did right before CSUN where what it was like in 2009 versus 2019 for CSUN, because the landscape that we work in is way different.
Well, we covered
10 years.
Yeah, ago. And we covered CSUN this whole decade. So that's crazy to think about. Sometimes we get ready for 2020. Wow.
And you were talking about other depressing things that we were covering on this podcast. Now I'm depressed. Now. Wow.
Go open up some presents. That's wow. Okay. Go up. It's time for Christmas. Go,
wow.
Time. I'll open up some okay. presents. Okay. And
I'll be fine.
Yes.
I'll be fine. There's cinnamon coke, you know. I'll be fine. It'll be
good. Go have some cookies.
Ooh. Yeah.
There you go. Chocolate. There you go.
Oreos.
Yeah, there you go.
Perfect. All right. Also something we talked about on the show this year. Happy holidays, everybody. And we will see you on the end of the year cast. And hey, happy new year if you don't hear from us next year.
Bye-bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2019.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing and loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Marshmallows for toasting and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing and loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time.